Accession number 30652, Mr. Bob Blackwell, Reel 4. Now, what was happening? I mean, we've talked a bit about the routine on the Belfast when you joined, but what exactly was going on? Were you aware of what was going on around you, if you see what I mean?
I would not have thought that I would have been aware of the political situation at that particular time in China, being as I was at such a young age, 17 and a half, 18. But we were made aware that the communists, under the guise of the Nationalist Party, were making inroads to the old Chinese traditions and taking over various parts of the country. There was certainly very much people that were permanently residing in Hong Kong seemed to be making great favours of the servicemen there that were in Hong Kong at that particular time, in the fact that they would be invited to tea and general things like this at that period, which was unusual. Right. A few months after joining Belfast.
Now, anything much happened in those first few months? So were you just getting your feet under the table, sort of?
Getting our feet under the table, drilling with towed targets, getting used to the feel of the guns and the action, whatever. Yeah.
Were you just in harbour or were you moving about?
Mostly in harbour, but we did put to sea a few times. A few months after arriving in Hong Kong, part of the Chinese fleet went on a courtesy visit to Shanghai, which was situated well up the Yangtze River. They consisted of heavy cruiser HMS London, destroyer HMS Consort, a frigate HMS Amethyst. On returning back to the Pacific Ocean after this visit, whilst travelling down the Yangtze River, shore batteries opened up, damaging all three ships. The captain of the London received shrapnel in a place that made him difficult to sit down. The captain of HMS Amethyst was killed, and all three ships were quite heavily damaged. As a result of this, Amethyst was so badly damaged she had to stay where she was in the Yangtze. The destroyer and the London made for a group of islands which was just outside the mouth of the Yangtze River, where she was joined by other members of the Chinese fleet that was there at the time, which included Belfast.
By Chinese fleet, you mean the British Pacific?
The British Far Eastern fleet, sorry. Which included the Belfast, HMS Sussex, and various other destroyers. And that gave us time to regroup and sort out the situation as it stood, whilst diplomatic moves were made in London and in China.
So what do you remember? Anything else for that period?
Well, at that period, the Belfast was, and the other ships, were in those islands for 6 weeks. As I say, waiting for the return of the Amethyst. We were forced to make our own entertainment. This is long before television, and the only entertainment we normally had was films that were flown out to us by the Fleet Air Arm, Sunderland Group, based at Hong Kong, or the wireless. So what we did on the Belfast, we set up a concert party, and we took the script of Annie Get Your Gun, which was a show that was on in London at that particular time, and performed it as best we could, remembering that at that particular time there was no feminine attachments to the Navy whatsoever.
Were you involved in the production, or just...
No, only as a scene shifter. But it was interesting, and it gave us something to occupy our minds instead of being subdued by the state the chaps on the Amethyst were in. After 6 weeks, we returned to...
Anything else other than the concert party you were doing to amuse yourselves? Or?
Not that I can remember specifically. That was a big...
Did you go ashore on the islands at all?
No. No leave was had at all. But
just cruising then?
The only communications we had was a weekly flight by Sunderland's from Hong Kong with mail.
Were you anchored on the off the harbour?
We were anchored off the... We were anchored. After 6 weeks, we returned back to Hong Kong. That is, HMS Belfast was. We still left a group of ships in those islands. And whilst...
Why did you go back then?
For replenishing stores, etc. Major replenishment. Just after we arrived, the Amethyst was able to break out from the Yangtze. And, of course, she was then escorted back to Hong Kong to a very large welcome, one can be sure.
Do you remember much about it, the reception?
Not a lot. I mean, the guns saluted her arrival, and I think it was mainly on board because there was medals given to members of the crew that had survived the ordeal that they had, etc. But it really brought home the political situation that was on in China at that time. The best part of the next year we spent going round various parts of the East showing the flag.
Now, what do you remember of these showing the flag tours?
Was we would go into various harbours, saluting the governors, etc., and put on a bit of a regretta with the boats. Oh, I think I've omitted a bit that I intended to fetch in. Can I go back on that?
Well, just finish off showing the flag stuff and then we'll go back to it, yeah.
And generally, leave ashore, men, you know, operating ashore and making it life a bit different for people that were there.
So where'd you go to on this showing the flag tour?
We went to Saigon. We went to Japan, two or three times to Japan. We went to Malaya. Various ports in Malaya.
Now, what did you miss out? What do you want to tell us about?
Yeah, that particular party of Annie Get Your Gun that we took round the fleet in the Far East, when we arrived back in Hong Kong, we were requested to put it on for the prisoners who were incarcerated in Victoria Prison on the island. Whether it was more part of that torture or what, I wouldn't know. But we certainly enjoyed ourselves.
Now, how were you settling in on the boat? I mean, we talked a bit about the routine. Anything changing during this period?
No, we settled down quite comfortably. There was one thing that struck me. One of the members of the crew got appendicitis and had to have an operation roughly 11 o'clock at night, emergency operation. Unfortunately, he did not survive. That made an impression.
You knew the bloke, did you?
No, not personally. But in a situation such as you live in, you're all mates. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are, you're all in the same boat. And that goes whichever way you like to look at that.
So you're still an ordinary seaman, still so your action station.
Made up to able seaman.
When was that?
That was in Singapore.
I mean, did you have to take an exam, or was that just automatic?
No, that was automatically after 1 year's service.
And did it make a difference?
It gave me personally more confidence in what I was doing.
Did it change your jobs? You know.
No, made no difference to the job I was doing. But speaking of jobs, I've now got to reminisce again. I'm sorry. I meant to mention it earlier and I forgot it. Whilst we was in those islands, for reasons best known to the chief boatswain's mate, I was made motorboat's crew as helmsman.
Now, tell me about that.
Which meant that one done elaborate movements with the boat hook when you were coming alongside as salutation, etc. So there was the pipe away motorboat's crew, which meant that I walked out on the boom, which was about 4 inches wide, sticking out from the ship, down a rope ladder onto the bows of the motorboat. Whereas we went from the boom, the motorboat drove round to the officer's gangway on the quarter deck. I hooked the boat hook in a ring bolt at the side of the gangway to pull the boat in. The officers got on board. We had the order, let go forward, let go aft. Unfortunately, I could not let go forward. And instead of letting go of the boat hook, I took one step forward and finished up in the sea. As at that particular time, I could not swim. And I suddenly realised that there were sharks in those waters. With great amount of effort, I managed to make the gangway and climb back on board the ship. That was my only experience of motorboat's crew. Came and went in one flash. But on our return to Hong Kong...
So you were taken off that job, were you?
Right away, immediately. On our return to Hong Kong, I went to the baths every day until I taught myself to swim.
Was it difficult? Did you have trouble learning to swim?
I think it took me about 3 months. Now if I fell in the water, it would be no problem. It was a matter of gaining confidence, swimming. And what I used to do was stand at the side of the baths, as deep as I dare, throw myself forward and splash away until I could get hold of the side of the baths again.
Did you have a proper swimming test?
Eventually I did have a proper swimming test. Roughly about a year later, whilst we were in Japan, one took a swimming test by jumping over the side, fully closed, and swimming completely round the ship, which I did.
That's quite tougher than in the swimming bathroom.
It is and it isn't, because being closed, it meant that you had a certain amount of air in the clothing, which helped to keep you afloat.
Anything else about that time then?
Not that I can remember.
No changes in the routine or anything?
No.
So what's the next thing you remember?
Well, let me think. Give me a few minutes to think. Major effort was the outbreak of the Korean War.
Now, what do you remember about? When did you first hear about that?
We were on a visit to Kyuri in Japan. And the broadcast came that the Americans had told South Korea that they were going to assist them in stopping the North Koreans invading that part of the country over the 48th parallel. And immediately Britain also joined America, or United Nations really, to assist in this. So we immediately sailed for Okinawa.
So that the news of the outbreak would be in June 1950, I think.
That was June 1950.
And how did you feel about all this? I mean, did you realise how important it was, or?
Well, I knew it was important because it was important to stop these people taking over people's liberty. I felt that was important. And this is really what we were fighting for, was for liberty. But as a youth, and I was still 18 going on 19 going on 20, one felt a feeling of excitement, more than, certainly no fear, but excitement, anticipation.
So now, what was the first thing you did then? You went to Kure?
We were at Kure, we went to
Okinawa. Sorry, you went to Okinawa, that's right. Mm. What happened when you got to we
joined up with the American 7th Fleet.
And what was it seen when you got to Okinawa? I mean, what was it like joining the 7th Fleet?
Well, it was all very exciting. This was for a youngster to be realising that you were going into battle. All the training that you had done over the previous 18 months, you were going to prove the worth of it.
So that was more what you felt. You weren't so much scared as just full of anticipation.
No. And no, there was no feeling of fear, as you say, more anticipation, yeah.
So what happened when you joined the 7th Fleet?
Well, then the English and American admirals got together, decided the campaign they was going to fight, and we then sailed for South Korea. And there we done bombardments as and when necessary.
And what were these bombardments like? What do you remember? You were still on your turret.
Still on the 6-inch guns. Mostly what our skipper tried to do, our captain tried to do, was he would be trying to stop the North Korean troop trains getting to the actual front. We would be sailing up the coast, bombarding the railway lines and the points of communications. We were at that time with United States cruiser Juno, when we worked in joint action. When we were near the North Korean front lines, we would wait for them to enter a village or something, and then or like tanks, and then we would bombard.
Now, what were the bombardments like? What do you remember of them? What was it
they
like
were exciting. I mean, I think it's a very difficult thing to describe, the feeling inside a gun turret where it gets full of the smoke of cordite exploding. And everybody working at full speed doing the jobs they've been taught, trained to do.
More exciting than the practices, huh?
Oh, far more exciting. Basically, what we would do, we would close up at action stations and remain there until we decided to have to go back to Japan to re-ammunition ship and refuel, obviously. At that time, we were using Yokohama as a base for, as I said, ammunitioning and...
I'll come back. How many shells would you fire during a bombardment from your gun or your turret, whichever?
They varied as to what accuracy there was with the shells until such times as the job we were anticipating doing was completed. The longest bombardment we had was covering the American landings, troop landings, combined troop landings at Incheon.
That's a bit later though, isn't it?
That was more or less the last one we did before.
Let's come back to that later then. Any what about the early ones? What do you remember? Anything you remember about being in the turret while they fired them?
No, basically we used to have spotters on shore, and they would go ashore to spot the fall of shot, and as to the accuracy, there was two or three times when the spotters had to tell the American cruiser to stop firing because those shells were falling on them other than the target. But we never had no problems.
And how long would you be in action for? I mean, you didn't actually say. I mean,
we closed up. We usually closed up on action stations on our first sight of Korea, and we would be in at action stations until we returned.
So how long is that?
Roughly 4 or 5 days. We would have our meals sent to the turrets. We would sleep in the turrets. I think I've still got the corrugated marks on my back now.
And what was it like sleeping, you know, that kind of... Because it's not comfy in there, is it?
It's not comfy, but we used to think that the troops on shore were a lot worse than we were. We couldn't complain. No, it wasn't comfortable, but you put up with it. You were young, and I think being young, you took these things a lot more.
Now, so any incidents during the early bombardments? Or was it? I mean, I appreciate it. I mean, they didn't fire back, did they?
No, wasn't fired on. Belfast wasn't fired on until the latter days in the war, and I wasn't on there then.
When you'd go back to Yokohama, that's Japan, was it?
Or
is it
Japan.
Is it the mainland, or is it an island? Well, they're all islands, but I mean, where is Yokohama?
Yokohama's just outside Tokyo.
And what would happen when you went back there?
We would normally go alongside in Yokohama, re-ammunition ship, refuel ship, and pick up stores as and when. We usually used to pull in there on a Friday and be prepared to sail again Monday morning. There would be leave. Belfast put on shore patrols, working with the American fleet. Just to see that everything was normal.
So what was the leave like ashore? Did you get ashore at Yokohama?
I got ashore in Yokohama. It was Tokyo and Japan at that time were very lit up cities. They were very modern cities, basically. Although they'd suffered greatly during the war, they seemed to be more lively than what London was. Quite a number of personnel went ashore to Hiroshima, which was the site of the first atomic bomb.
Did you do that?
No. I had no desire to go to Hiroshima at all. And it has struck me since that a lot of the chaps that went to Hiroshima eventually went cancerous. And that is one big relief that I didn't have no desire to. One of my brother-in-laws, who was there right after the war, he caught cancer just the same, and he died a very young death. I think that was due to, I think there must have been a lot of radiation in that particular area for many years. That's a personal opinion, it's not a doctor's.
Now, what about, what would you do ashore? Would you drink, or what would you do?
Mostly we drank and go to the cinema, that type of thing. Yeah.
And were the Japanese friendly?
I never had no problems with Japanese, not personally. As far as I know, of course, there are people that were out for antagonism, not necessarily the Japanese, but...
But you had no trouble?
None at all.
Anything else about Yokohama?
No, the main interest was watching the shipping coming in and out the harbour.
Now, so then you go back out again?
Then we would go back up to the Korean coast. We only, basically that's what we did until the end of that commission. We would go up and down the Korean coast. I think the second commission they went ashore there, but we never.
So you back in, fire in and then back in and...
Back in. Can I come back on one thing? When we first went up the Korean coast, one of the cruisers in the British squadron, HMS Jamaica, she was attacked by North Korean aircraft.
Now, what do you remember of that?
Was that one of the, after both pom-pom guns, was manned by troops that she had taken on Hong Kong to make her crew up, and they were all killed. There was about six soldiers killed on there.
That was HMS Jamaica.
HMS Jamaica. Mm.